This podcast may contain content that is not suitable for listeners under the age of 18. If you are 17 or younger and wish to educate yourself about sex and relationships, you should visit scarleteen.com. That's scarleteen with one T.
Hey, I'm Alicia, your non-monogamous relationship coach. Welcome to the podcast where my friends and I chat about our relationships, enthusiastic non-monogamy, polyamory, swinging, kink, and our lives. You'll get a candid peek into what makes it worth it to live life outside the box. And in case you're still wondering, nope, we're not monogamous. Today we are crushing stereotypes by exploring the realities of non-monogamous relationships with Rich and Siobhan. Rich and Siobhan are the hosts of the Poly Podcast, where they answer common questions, debunk misconceptions, and contribute to the growing conversation around ethical non-monogamy. And they had me on their show recently, so go check out the episode titled Embracing Sex and Self with Alicia. It's fun. They are a non-monogamous pair who live in London, UK, and they are super, super fun. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. Oh, and guess what? You have the power to make this show even more awesome and help others discover it too. How? By leaving a review or a rating. It's like giving a treasure map to fellow curious minds, guiding them straight to our insightful conversations. But hold on, there's more. I'm cooking up something really special, introducing the review reveal extravaganza, or some other name like that that's real cheesy. Basically, I'm going to be reading your reviews live on the show. And if I pick yours, you'll snag an amazing prize. You could win a free lifetime access to one of my fantastic online courses, like Getting It On in a Group, Intentional Threesomes, Foursomes, and Moresomes. So today's review is from, I don't know if this is their real name, but it says CEQA user. And if you're listening, then just send me a message or an email. And what they said was, juicy nuggets here. I love the candor and openness of Alicia and her guests. Everyone brings their own approaches to ways of relating, and I love that. And I love that review. Thank you so much. And that's not all. If you are looking to dive even deeper into this podcast world, consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. By doing so, you're not only helping us bring like really fantastic content, but you'll also get exclusive behind the scenes access, like just the tip, some extra goodies, a whole lot of podcast love, conversations with me. So let's work our magic together. Leave me a review, become a Patreon supporter, and let's like spread this goodness far and wide. Thank you so much for being a part of this amazing community. I'm beyond excited to share all of this with you. Happy listening. Enjoy the episode. Bye. And record.
All right.
Oh, Jesus.
Just like that. Oh, yeah. You got to hit the button. It's really important to hit the button.
Got it.
Got it.
What, the leave meeting button?
No, not the leave meeting button. Not yet.
Hey, that was fun. So you all missed it. We just had a really great conversation before hitting record.
Honestly, it was the best conversation that's, I think, ever been had. Probably not even
ever.
Just between you and a guest, but probably just ever.
Okay.
In the history of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's lost. Lost forever.
Lost forever.
Good night, everybody.
Let's see. Okay. You guys are amazing. Let me start there. No. Yeah.
That's so cute. Thanks, Alicia.
You're welcome. Just going to gas you up a little bit. Then I'm going to bring it down. Don't worry.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's full of cycle. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah.
We can still hit that leave meeting button whenever we want, right?
Big red button right in front of you. Okay, so you guys, I'm really enjoying your podcast. And I listened to your introductory story, but the people that are listening to this show right now probably haven't yet. So I would love to hear... and they would probably love to hear what your relationship structure is. What is your evolution of non-monogamy? That's what I want. That's what I want to know.
Well, if you head over to our podcast episode one, you can listen to that. No, I'm joking. That's the lazy way of doing it. Well, I came to Siobhan in that's her in 2021.
Winter of 2021.
And basically, I mean, we say I came out to her, but really I let her in to what was going on in my head, which is this polyamory thing. I, for a really long time, had wrestled with this idea in my head. I hadn't really had much exposure to it. I hadn't, you know, I didn't realize it was a legitimate thing. I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to. But I found out through conversations with other friends who kind of tried non-monogamy, dabbled here and there, and I realized, oh, this sounds a lot like me. And I came to Siobhan, and it was terrifying, but I said my piece. I you know, tried to kind of explain in the very limited vocabulary I had at the time. And Siobhan, that's a good place for you to take over.
Yeah, I mean, so in terms of our relationship structure, we met in the September of 2020. So we'd been together for about 15 months. Monogamous, I was, you know, very against any form of relationship other than monogamy. We had had discussions about that. I actually remember a discussion like quite early on in our relationship where we're at your place, where you were living at uni, like that long ago. And I remember it sort of coming up before we'd even like define the relationship, you know, like in quotation marks, or had like a serious discussion. I remember non-monogamy coming up, and I remember just like shutting it down, like saying, that is not for me. I'm not interested in this. If that's what you want, then this is not going to work out. And Richard was like, oh, no, no, no. And his line was always, I think I could try it with the right person, but I don't want that right now. I don't want that with you. Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool, great. Like, I'm glad we've discussed that. Like,
yeah. Which was done. Yeah. And that was the what I felt was an honest answer at the time. Just to be clear, I wasn't. I was lying to myself as much as more than anyone else. Because it really is a weird concept that you don't get. It's not a weird concept. It's a great concept, but you know what I mean? It's unusual in that it's not what people expect. And, until you are exposed to it, you kind of do think it's wrong because of the social, social
structures
and, conditioning, you know?
Yeah.
So, which is a term I use a lot, because I feel like pretty much every which way we choose to live our lives is going to be on some level influenced by that social conditioning.
Yeah.
So, but then what happened?
I mean, it was really tough for me because I don't know, I like met this person that I adored and loved, and we had envisioned a future together, and all of a sudden this thing that is an orientation for Rich, so not a choice, not just something he wants to try out, not, you know, some people might have this perception, you know, oh, you want to like have your cake and eat it too, like, you know, it wasn't that, but it's like, this is a choice for Rich. This is not a choice for Richard. So this is like how he is. So I was very aware immediately that Rich was coming to me with something that was about him, a fact about him that he had just learned, but that would also impact me and my relationship and with myself and with Richard, and would essentially cause me to do a lot of work on myself. And that was like, honestly, probably the hardest thing I've ever done, like up there with that and parenting are like the most challenging things, because your whole world, everything you know about yourself, everything you know about love and the way that you love critically is like burst wide open and you don't know what to do. Essentially, I had to work out
is this a mindset shift or is this just not for me? And I made a decision not to make a decision. I just was like, I'm not going to decide right now. I'm just going to, the answer will come to me. And for me, a really pivotal moment in being okay in non-monogamy was when I realized that my insecurities were the same in polyamory or non-monogamy as they had been in all of my monogamous relationships. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, yeah. Like, okay, I'm going to be able to do this because I've just realized I've been operating the same way and it wasn't related to the relationship style I was in. Mm-hmm. So before we came on this show this afternoon, I was walking around and I was thinking how crazy it is that like I can talk about this logically and clearly, and like we produce a podcast, we're on your podcast talking about this. Like that is something that I would never have thought I could do 2 years ago. So that's quite exciting for me. But
also kudos. Taking that perspective of like, this is about him, this is a thing about him, and not this is a oh my God, I'm horrible and unwanted, or, you know, like not like, like actually having that perspective of like, oh, this is a thing that's about him and how do I want to navigate around it? That's brilliant. And not, I feel like not the way that most people would take information like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a decade of therapy before Richard came to me about that. So that may have helped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, can I just say like, I am like extremely proud of her for those things. And like whenever you say stuff like that, I always feel a little bit emotional, like deep down. Cause it's like, cause it really is like chalk and cheese. The difference in, you're still you, obviously, but there's just the way you approach things, the way that you approach things that are outside of your comfort zone, the way that you, just all that good stuff, you know, is is amazing. There's such a transformation, and you are, the way that you've become so much more secure in your, just your attachments, no matter what they are, is just very admirable, I think. And not that I haven't done work myself, like I am also
brilliant too. Yeah,
I'm also extremely amazing. it was hard for both of us, but the short straw was given to me.
And you asked about our relationship, like sort of now and what our structure is. So it's funny because even since starting our podcast, I think it's sort of, we've got to know a bit more about the terms and what they mean and also what they mean to us. So I would say, and like, feel free to jump in here because we might like, it's always fluid, right? Like your relationship with like, your relationship with words and phrases like can be, for me, it's really fluid. So I would describe us, actually, there's a phrase that I read in a book by a woman called Sarah Youngblood Gregory, and she describes this term nesting mate, which is like when, for people who may not have heard that term before, essentially, you live together, you've got like sort of like we parent together. So we share a home. So there are certain levels of like quote unquote traditional hierarchy that are involved in that. We try not to be hierarchical in other ways as well. So that's why I feel like that term works really well for us. But I'd say we do have emotional and sexual relationships with other people.
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Alicia here. You know, the voice you've been tuning into episode after episode. Today, I'm popping in with an invitation that's really close to my heart. Behind the scenes, I've been crafting something special just for you, my dedicated listeners. If there's a voice inside you that's seeking guidance on navigating the realms of relationships and non-monogamy, wanting to like boost your confidence and find that unwavering sense of security, or you're struggling to manage the tricky waters of jealousy, I'm here to offer my support. I've cleared my schedule to open up 50 slots this month for free one-on-one clarity chats directly with me. So this is your opportunity to dive deep into those pressing questions and come out on the other side with newfound clarity and direction. The availability on this is super limited and these spots are going to fill up really fast. So don't miss your chance to connect with me. Head over to my website, alisiapayne.com, right now. Go secure your spot because together we can uncover a path to a more joyful, fulfilling, and easy non-monogamous journey. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think because for us it's been over 18 months now, hasn't it? It's been a little while, but it's not like it's been 10 years, you know. We're still the longest partner I've had, like outside of Siobhan, non-monogamously speaking, is about 8 or 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the development of other relationships haven't reached certain levels yet where we've kind of had to figure out if there's any like additional boundaries or additional, which I don't think there certainly isn't now, and I don't foresee that being a thing in the future. But we can only speak for now, and I think as it stands, we don't control any of that aspect of each other's lives, really, do we? But we do still have a responsibility to one another, and you know, living together, there may be certain extra responsibilities that come with that don't come with partners outside of us, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like, and I think that's where the distinction is, right?
Yeah, like, we don't do veto powers or anything like that, but we do explain to other partners that, look, like, I do have someone that I live with and we parent a child together, so there might be times that I need to show up for this person, mm-hmm. or this child. Like, I'm from Sydney, so I don't have family here. So sometimes if there's an emergency, like, Richard is my emergency contact. So mm-hmm. I might need him to show up for me if there's something like that too. So we just explain that to people that we date as well. So they're aware of that. Sometimes that might be something we need to do.
Yeah.
It's funny. I remember when Rob, my husband, and I had like the first couple of years, right? And it's like, okay, we've got this now, you know, and now we're like 10 years later going, man, things have evolved and changed over the years. Holy cow. It's wild.
Mm.
It's like, you can't imagine what it will be like. But what I love is the idea, or the like openness to, like, things can change, right? Like, you get to change your mind, you get to make agreements, and then you get to change your mind and make different agreements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. Therein lies one of the most beautiful things about non-monogamy is built on fluidity. It is built on the acknowledgement that change is inevitable, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but like, if you don't fight change, if you don't try and stop it from, you know, stop yourself from progressing, it more often than not is incredibly healthy and incredibly beneficial to everyone, and just allows you to be a more complete person.
Like, one of the questions I got asked a lot, and actually recently got asked as well, which I sometimes, like, those original questions you get when you tell someone that you're in a non-monogamous relationship, like, then everyone in your life knows, kind of, so it's like, but then sometimes these questions still come up and I'm like, whoop, I was that one for a while, is, you know, talking about our relationship. And sometimes people say to me, but when you met Rich, this isn't what you signed up for. So how can you change that? Because that's not what you agreed to at the beginning of the relationship. And I mean, I find that a really hard one to sort of talk about, because for me, like, the very nature of all relationships is that they evolve, people grow and change, right? And so I just sort of say, well, relationships change. Like, of course, going from monogamy to non-monogamy is a big change, but, like, having a kid's a big change. Like, getting married is a big change. Having a binding financial agreement in the form of a mortgage is a big change. You didn't agree to all these things when you started. So it's really interesting that that's a question that you get asked about, like, growth. Mm. When if your relationship in monogamously didn't grow, you'd be asking a lot of questions. So I feel like it's just such a random, almost invalid question. So it's fascinating to me.
It is. Yeah. And I feel like that's probably one of the biggest reasons people choose monogamy, is they want that stability and that, like, promise that nothing will change ever.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
if it's not real.
Change, right? And then things do inevitably change and it causes conflict because you're not prepared for it. Whereas mm-hmm. I feel like you almost welcome conflict in non-monogamy, and it doesn't present itself as your typical conflict because you just talk about it and you work through it, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to say as well, like, we were talking about our dynamic and now we're talking about change. Like, we regularly have conversations where we sort of revisit certain boundaries and certain rules and certain, and just to kind of see, like, where we're at with them and whether or not, like, they need to change or they need, I don't know, finessing, whatever you want to say. So it's like where in some monogamous relationships, there is the, I guess, naivety that you can avoid conflict or or you don't need to be prepared for conflict. In non-monogamy, and once again, some non-monogamy, there are obviously, like, other less healthy versions of it. But there is almost this, okay, like, come at me, bro. I'm here for the conflict. Like, let's work through it. We'll grow together if we work through it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more fulfilling in a relationship than when you work through a disagreement or a conflict or whatever you want to call it, because I always feel closer to that person afterwards, and I always feel, I don't know, like, I feel like quite an accomplished person, like, socially speaking, you know.
Look at
had a big hug, like, a few days ago because we worked through something and it was, like, really, really nice. So the nicest moments.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels good. Yeah.
Okay. Tell me this. What are some of the things that you've had to revisit?
Oh, good question.
Curfews.
Oh yeah. So originally we started off with, like, midnight. Yeah. Now I don't know. Is it, I feel like,
it's like
2 was going to be 2 a.m., but then now it's almost like we might start doing sleepovers, I guess.
Yeah. True.
Depending on schedules and child stuff and whatever.
Yeah. And those are examples of, like, easing, like, because obviously we started with that. Else. And as time has gone on, we've eased out of that boundary, that rule.
Yeah. It's like comfort is built.
Yeah.
And, like, you're felt fine.
You're lowering yourself into the water slowly. Yeah, you're not just diving into a freezing hot plate sort of thing.
And a lot of it I needed to feel, like, safe and to learn how to do this thing. Another one that I, like, really used to care about, but I don't anymore, is, like, brushing your teeth when you get home.
Mm.
Like, I like to have a shower if I've slept with somebody, but I don't really care if you've, like, kissed somebody else and then you've, like, haven't brushed. Like, and I used to really be like, you have to be minty fresh for me, Bridget. Like,
depends on what you've been doing with your mouth.
Yeah, like, you've got to be clean and, like.
But that's just basic hygiene, right?
Yeah.
That's a thing, though. Some people don't think about that. That's a real thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
100%. Like, what is on your face right now? Do I want to taste it?
Do I need to get the what do they call it, the dark light or whatever it is, the UV light? What is this stain on your cheek?
Yeah, and I think it's also just, like, up to the partner who's been out to be, like, aware of that too. Like, oh no, like, I really need to wash my face, or I really need, what, you know, as well as, like, someone enforcing that. It's really up to the person to be like, oh, actually.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I think
those are the two of the big ones that maybe people might relate to.
And things as well. Like, I think also things have really.
Oh, I've got one.
Like, yeah. Oh, go on.
We used to be, I mean, this is like day one. You used to be very much like, I don't need to know the details about the person you're going on a date with. And it's kind of very, it was kind of very much like, if I ask, then tell, but don't come in and start like giving me their CV, their resume.
Like, I wanted to know where you were going and that you were going on a date. Like, that's always been something that's like been where we're at.
Measures.
But I was like, really, even just to get my head around, like, I didn't even want to know pronouns. I was like, Richard, it's gender neutral. It's they, them. I don't want to know anything about these people, because I was so like, just so worried and anxious and like was comparing myself to these people. And it was just really difficult. And I knew I would be okay eventually. I just knew I needed like literal bite-sized pieces. And like the first time that Rich showed me a picture of someone he was dating was like a huge day. I still remember where I was, what I was doing, because like that was a big step for me where I could look at another person, male or female, and like not compare myself, particularly with body image. Like I had, have had in the past, like a lot of body image issues of like, I'm too big, I'm, you know, not thin enough or whatever. And so if I saw another person, I would automatically just be like, they've got nicer hair than me, they've got a cuter butt than me. And that was a real source of anxiety. So that was like part of our original sort of framework was like, I don't want to see pictures. I don't really want to know a lot about them. I don't want to know even their pronouns or their gender, none of that.
Whereas now it's like,
now I'm like,
give me the pics. I want to see pics.
And now what do they look like? It's actually funny now because then Rich is more like, oh, I'll show you a picture after a couple of dates. Like I just want to get to know them first. And I'm like, fine. Yeah. So now I am like, you can go on a date. Do you have any, is it online? Like, show me a picture. And Rich is like, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll show you in a few dates. It's so funny. So it's
that's
completely changed.
Hilarious. I love that. Cause I was the exact opposite. I was like, I want to know everything. Who are they? What are their relationships? What do they look like? What are you attracted to? What are they talking about? What are they into? And I want, like, it felt like this, like, if I, the more information I know, then the more control I can have, or the more I can suss out, like, what might be a threat to me. But it gave me so much anxiety because I was also, like, constantly comparing myself to where I finally went, actually, maybe I don't want to know which one of us rates higher on the blowjob scale. Okay. I'm done asking that question. Right. Like, I was like, actually, now maybe I don't want to know as much. And so it's funny how we can take this same like insecurity, the same like the same fear and hit it from a different angle, and how we try to like solve it and try to like navigate it. Because I definitely, when I started like asking less questions and wanting less information, it did lower my anxiety. So I'm really, I love that you took that, like, I don't want to know anything and this will change. But like, as you became more and more comfortable, then you were able to know more and more and get excited. And I know my partner has always said to me, like, I need to know more so I can feel compersion. Like if I know what you're doing and who you're hanging out with, and like, I can be excited about them too, then I can feel compersion. But I am not a very compersive person. So I did not have that experience. It was all about like, how can I soothe my insecurities and not put this person up on a pedestal if I know like, what are they all about?
Totally. And I mean, also like on the point of compersion, I reckon the first time I've genuinely felt it was like a month ago.
Yeah.
Like very recently. And I, because Rich had a date that was canceled with someone that he was dating. And I was like really genuinely like sad for him. And then I was, and then I had been quite excited for him for that particular date. And I was like, oh my God, I think I've just, because I've never felt that before, like that thing before.
Yeah.
But also like, I think sometimes it can be this idea of if you're bad at non-monogamy, if you don't feel compersion. And like, I think I'm also not necessarily a fully compulsive person. Like I'm very, and that could change obviously, but I'm very happy with like Rich going out doing his thing, me going out doing my thing. Like I'm really big on like, yes, we live together, but Rich is, and I'm both entitled to our own sort of privacy, and these are, they're his relationships. They're not mine. And so I can feel happy for him. And so, yeah, you know, like I think that there is, as I said, this idea of if you don't feel it straight away that there's something wrong with you and you're not cut out for non-monogamy. And like, that's actually not true. It's just working out what your version of non-monogamy is. And I was kind of excited because it took me like 18 months, like coming up for 2 years to ever feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think it's probably still quite a rare thing for me to feel at the moment, but it was a really wild moment because I'd never felt that emotion before. In that respect, and it was just like wild.
This is possible.
Yeah.
I'm capable.
The idea that that you, if you don't feel it right away, you're somehow not cut out is crazy, because how are you supposed to feel an emotion or feel the emotion in the context of compersion? Because it's more like you're feeling happy for someone, right? So compersion like implies there's context there too, in that you're happy for your partner. The two, like, how are you ever gonna feel that so quickly when you're? It's challenging, like your entire life of conditioning is just wild.
Mm.
Of course, you're not gonna feel it right away. Even if you, even I as a person who's oriented this way doesn't feel that often or that easily. So yeah, like if you're listening and you're telling yourself that you're bad because you don't, just tell that thought to fuck off.
Right? For real.
Because that's just
so true.
Yeah. It's fair to feel that way, occasionally
I feel compulsive.
Yeah.
But it's usually combined with a whole bunch of other things too.
Oh yeah. I relate.
It's not a standalone feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I'm really envious and also excited for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about jealousy?
Jealousy.
You guys ever feel jealous?
I always start answering first, so you go this time. Go.
That's okay. Yeah. Of course I do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start sounding like a broken record to you, people.
Which is totally fine. People. I signed up for this, right? So, you know.
I love broken records. They're my favorite kind.
Okay. A bit weird. anyway. I always come back to this idea of, I don't know if I said this when you were on with us or whatever, but
say it at least once a day. So probably,
I say at least one, once. I try to get it in once every several hours, really, just to really hammer it home. But I'll actually say it now, which is the idea of when it comes to jealousy or really any negative emotion that you might feel related in relation to your relationships, is to acknowledge it without nurturing it. By which I mean, like, just take note that you're experiencing the emotion, this emotion or this feeling, and kind of let it sort of run through your brain, I guess, like without letting it run rampant. Like, you've got to sort of hold its hand around your brain, I suppose, and just try and figure out where it's coming from, and if it really is logical, because a lot of the time you may be thinking, oh, this person, they're going to leave me for this other person, or I'm not good enough, or you know, I wish I was with them and stuff. And it's like, well, that's if you're doing non-monogamy, they're probably not going to leave you for them. And even if you are monogamous and they're hanging out with someone that you think might be into your partner still has to say yes. And that's probably not going to happen if you've worked hard on your relationship and you've, you know, nurtured that relationship. So yeah, So that's kind of what I mean when I say acknowledge it, but don't nurture it. Because that's when things get a bit hairy.
I love that so much. There is this idea that you have to like react to every emotion.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to sometimes take action from that.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's jealousy is an interesting one for me because I think it's first of all the most common emotion you get asked about as a non-monogamous person, obviously. Jeez. And it's also I'm like not an especially jealous person like in my life. And having read about the literature, like when we first opened up, like trying to work out some literature, like Googling stuff, it was such a common thing that people address. So every time I felt a negative emotion or something that I was uncomfortable, I thought I was jealous. And I was like, oh my God, I'm really jealous. But I think only with hindsight, like only recently have I really thought about that. And I'm like, yeah, obviously there's some jealousy as part of that. But for me and being someone who has always been a highly anxious individual, it was all just anxiety. I wasn't jealous that or envious, which I know are different things, that of like Richard having experiences with other people. I wasn't, you know, thinking I wish that I like was on that date or going to that event or sleeping with that person. I wasn't feeling envious in that way. I was more like just so overwhelmed with anxiety that I wouldn't be included, that I wouldn't be like invited to stay in Rich's life, you know? And so of course there are times where I do feel jealousy, but for me, anxiety and the jealousy sort of feeding into that was by like much more the overwhelming emotion. So yeah, it's an interesting one for me because it's taken me a little while to be able to articulate that.
I've just heard so many occasions people have been like alluded to this idea of conquering jealousy or solving jealousy. And I'm just like, it's not something to be conquered or solved. It's going to happen. It's natural. It's normal.
Yeah.
It's enhanced by, once again, my favorite word, conditioning. It's sort of enhanced by that because it goes a lot of the time it's going against what's expected of you. But this is in the non-monogamy community. I'm saying a lot of people will be like, oh, you know, I've conquered jealousy or I don't want to be jealous anymore. And it's like, well, I feel like you're probably looking at it from the wrong angle. You need to be able to manage it, you know, don't get rid of it. Because sometimes jealousy is going to happen. It's normal. Sometimes it might even not necessarily be a bad thing, you know?
And when I, being an anxious person, obviously.
You're an anxious person.
When I... I remember one time Rich came home and had organized a date with someone and I started to feel jealous and I was like, you're not supposed to feel this way. So then I was getting anxious because I was feeling jealous, which
now
took
I'm
over
wrong.
Jealousy.
Shame.
And now I'm wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I had to remind myself, Siobhan, like jealousy is not something not to be felt. Like you can't control the fact you're feeling this is a human emotion. It's how you manage it. So I'm trying to like, it's just honestly like the web of emotions, like you sort of mentioned earlier, where compersion kind of exists within all these other things. Yes. It's like, that is just so me. It's like, it's the umbrella anxiety of me like trying to work out what else is in there.
What am I feeling?
Literally.
Is this hunger?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do I need a nap?
I feel empty in the pit of my stomach. Have I eaten today?
The only emotion stronger than jealousy, guys. Hunger.
And tiredness.
Yeah.
If I'm tired and hungry.
I constantly tell people, like, treat yourself like a toddler. Like, have you eaten? Have you had a nap? Have you had enough sleep? Are you sick? Right? Do you need to go to the bathroom? Do you need some cuddles? Like, take care of all your physical needs and then work out the emotional stuff, because otherwise it's so overwhelming. If you spent the last 3 days getting like 2 hours of sleep because you're anxious and then like going crazy over your relationship, like you're not going to solve it that way. Like, go take a nap, go do some breath work,
yeah.
Go eat a meal. that has fat in it. Like, nurture yourself.
Yeah. Think of all the times that you're lying in bed at night, and that's when your brain decides to go, something bad's going to happen, because you're tired and you're going to feel that so much stronger. I know you do.
Oh,
yeah,
me too.
I say sometimes it's like,
let me tell you, it gets okay. So usually I would say,
I'll let you say
like danger times, like between 9:30 and 10:30, and like my bedtime routine takes me about 45 minutes, right?
At least.
So it's quite, when we first moved in together, Rich was like, what are you doing? Yeah, and I'm like, my routine.
What are you faffing around doing? But she is genuinely doing something. Like, you know, people are faffers. She's not a faffer.
No, I'm working through the steps, but there's danger time. And then I'll come out after like having done all my steps to say goodnight.
Yeah.
And
a good night.
Then I'll say something.
Minutes.
I'll be like, oh, I'm feeling like this is bad or this is going to happen. And Rich is like, baby,
go to bed.
Like, it's an, to the point now where I feel myself doing it, but the emotions are still really real. And Rich just puts go to bed, and then it's fine in the morning. So it's so true. It's like,
it's when she's like that in the morning that I'm like, oh my God, are you okay?
That's when so relatable. Like, I am sleepy, and now all of a sudden everything is terrible.
That's literally.
Whereas for me, it's like, stop talking to me now. I need me time. And I'll get grumpy if I'm being neglected of my me time. Like, I need time to myself. You know what I mean? That's me, isn't it? Yeah. I really need, I'm quite solitary in that way, which is sort of slightly, almost the antithesis of non-monogamy in a way. But no, like, I really thrive in just alone time.
Yeah.
To clear my head, and well, not necessarily clear my head, but like organize my thoughts and kind of have all those sort of, can't do it if I'm socializing. And yeah, so that's where I get moody. I feel like those
like self-awareness things are probably the most important part of like being able to navigate all of it, is like knowing yourself and how you like, when am I sensitive to things? What do I need for myself? How do I need to take care of myself so that I can manage my life?
100%.
Yeah. Like, so much of dating other people is actually about learning more about yourself and growing in yourself. And because the more you are exposed to kind of relationships that go beyond platonic or whatever, where you really feel deeply and you really kind of have connections with people, I feel like that is where you actually learn more about yourself, you know?
Yeah. And one of my favorite things about being non-monogamous is that the relationship style, like, part of that is a commitment to grow within yourself. When you're constantly meeting new people, and your partner is meeting new people, or your partners are meeting new people, you know, of course, in life, if you're monogamous, there's always going to be opportunities to grow. But I think that this relationship style, by design, it's part of it. It's just signing up for that. And I love that. That's part of it. It's this commitment to continuing your personal growth.
Absolutely.
Well said.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
I think we can hazard a guess as to what a few of the others are.
It's the plants. It's all the plants.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So, if you could go back and do anything differently, would you?
Well, just in non-monogamy or in general?
Both.
I don't know. I had an emergency trip back to Australia, and I call it an emergency trip because it was this Christmas of 2021. So we were supposed to have my parents over for Christmas from Sydney, and then COVID, like the Omicron variant, happened and a lot of things were cancelled, but we could still travel from the UK to Australia. Just the other way around wasn't really possible. So I took that time to go away for a couple of weeks and just get some distance, get some sun, and just see how I was going with it. And that experience was, it kind of feeds into, like, there was a few things that I didn't communicate well enough that I would have loved to talk to Rich about before we left. So when like there were some things that Rich did that we hadn't talked about, just like Rich, we agreed that he was going to be on dating apps, but I like wasn't really, I didn't talk to him about what his plans were. So I was a bit taken aback when like dates were organized, like obviously dates were organized, like, but I hadn't talked about that with him. So I was like, why is this happening? And you've taken liberties and you've done all this. And like, that's not, wasn't actually true, but I wish I'd communicated that. And also on the communication vein, I dated someone for about 6 months and I did not realize that their partner had veto power. So they, and I didn't ask these questions. Again, same thing. I didn't ask that question. And I was really shocked when in the earlier this year, he said, well, like, I have to break up with you because my partner said so. And I was like really shocked about that. Because I hadn't just, I had, but the thing is, I think, and that's my learning journey. And like, I have learned that like, I need to ask more questions and understand the parameters of my own relationship. That was very early on, but still my own relationship with Richard in our like nesting relationship, but also my other relationships. And like, I've learned going forward that I will certainly be asking, what is the structure of your relationship? Does your partner have a veto power or does, what's the deal? And like with our relationship, like I learned that so early on, like ask questions about what Rich is going to be doing. Don't leave any assumptions. I think in monogamy, there can be some assumptions, obviously not always, but I think there's probably more room for assumptions. Yeah. And I was still very much operating from a monogamous mindset. And we just opened up and we, and Rich was like, I'm going to explore on some dating apps. And I said, that's a great way to use these 3 weeks. I'm going to be at home with my family. Like, let's reconvene. And then was like shooketh when Rich was using the dating apps the way that they're intended and organized a date. And I hadn't asked about that beforehand. So yeah. I think if I was to do anything different, it would just be like asking more questions of my partner so that I know what I'm getting myself involved in.
Hmm.
I wonder, I'm curious. The question that comes to mind for me is, would you have thought of those questions or were you... Was there a part of you that was like scared to ask too many questions because that might open the door to something that hadn't been thought of on the other side?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Absolutely. I think now because I've had more experience, like I know what the options are and I'm not concerned about, oh, if I say this thing, that means that like I'm not doing it right or... Yeah. And I didn't, yeah, I just thought that I wasn't aware because I grew up, like we all do, with a monogamous model. That's like one way of doing things. So I just assume, okay, non-monogamy, one way of doing things. And it took me a long time to learn that that's not the case. And there's multiple ways of doing things in this umbrella world of umbrella term of non-monogamy. So I think I wasn't asking questions because, you know, it's kind of like when you start a new job and it's like, oh, like a weirdly like imposter syndrome kind of, whereas like, I'm new to this. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know what the deal is. Mm. I don't know what the questions are to ask. I don't want to expose the fact that I have like not a lot of experience. So, okay, this will be fine. This seems sort of normal. And these relationships, like the person I mentioned, that was like one of my first relationships as well. So like I didn't know how to ask those questions or even to ask those questions. Yeah. And then I read about vetoes and other things much later on after this breakup happened. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, that's what that was. Oh, right. And so I've learned that. But I think there's also an element of me I was certainly holding back because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah. What if I say this thing and then I look foolish or I expose myself to something terrible?
Yeah. So I was,
See, my way of looking at like, I it's really hard to me for me to answer questions like, because I don't normally give, I'm reflective, but I don't give what the what if sort of the time of day ever, because, and this is very much due to, like, I quit drinking for about 4.5 years ago because I just went off the rails. I completed it, as I like to say. Completed it. The guys, The final level is a hospital bed. So don't just stop playing it. You're playing it too hard then. It's Rich okay to play a little.
Make everyone super uncomfortable. So
yeah, I do really enjoy making people uncomfortable about it.
I enjoy that. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Yes.
I suffered. I won't make that joke. It's way too topical. I don't like to dwell and sort of figure out like would I do anything else differently, because if you asked me at the time when I was in a hospital bed or whatever and asked me the question, would you do anything differently? I'd say, yeah, I wouldn't have picked up a drink ever. You ask me now and I say, absolutely not. I'm glad I went through that because now I'm the person I am today. And that's learning, right? So if you don't make mistakes and if you don't do things badly, sometimes if you're not a bad person, sometimes that to learn about being a good person, sometimes you have to be a little bit bad too, right? Like within reason. I'm not saying go out there and stop murdering everyone to learn not to murder. I'm saying make mistakes, do little things that maybe aren't necessarily the right way to do something, because you probably don't realize that that's not the right way to do something. You need to learn, right? So I, with all due respect, I hate your question. I don't like the question.
You know, it's funny because I never answer questions like that either.
Yeah, there you go.
I also won't answer favorite questions. I can't pick.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can, but I always add the caveat that this will be the answer today. You can ask me again tomorrow and it'll be different.
Absolutely.
But this answer that I'm giving you now will never be different. The answer is no. I wouldn't do anything different.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love that. It's so good.
I feel like I should drop the mic, but I'm not going to because they're expensive.
They're expensive. Yeah. It would make a loud noise. We'd have to edit it out. It's a whole process.
Yeah.
Okay. Have there been any inappropriate, awkward, or intrusive things that people have asked you guys about your relationship, about non-monogamy?
That's a really inappropriate question, Alessia. How dare you? Many.
the time. Yeah. Oh, God, I don't even know where to start. I feel like, okay, I can share my, because we get all sorts of stuff, you know, like, I can tell you what, you know.
You're better answering this.
Like, what if they find someone they like better than you? How could you let your partner sleep with someone else? Is non-monogamy cheating? You know, a lot of these things where you feel like there's, and for me, it's very much like, I feel like I try not to slip into the educator role, but it can be really hard when I'm also trying to be an ally to my partner because this is his orientation. Mm. And so I take that role of, sometimes I take it quite seriously if someone's asking these questions and there's an implication that like Rich is doing something wrong or immoral or forcing me into it. I like really double down on that. That's something I take really seriously. And I don't mind educating. And something we talk about on our podcast all the time is that it can be an orientation. It's not always, but it can be. And some people are wired this way, and to treat this as though it's a choice is not fair. But I will share probably my biggest pet hate question that I get asked.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a whole article on it for like a UK newspaper because I was like, basically my pet hate or my question that I like the least being asked is, if you guys get married, will you still be polyamorous?
Oh my God.
Or will you still be non-monogamous? And the answer is sometimes I don't even know where to start, but I do not like this question for a number of reasons. The first reason is because this question trivializes non-monogamous relationships. It's like they're thinking it's just a phase. It's something that you're doing for fun until you graduate to a serious monogamous relationship and you settle down. And stop being silly with all these other people and take your relationship seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, our relationship, us being non-monogamous, is the most authentic expression of our love. So of course we're going to stay this way. Of course we're going to, you know, if we decide to get married, it will be in an open marriage. That's how it will be, because our relationship is no different to anyone else's in terms of it's all what's expected of relationships. It's loving, it's fulfilling, it's authentic, and it's non-monogamous. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just different. And so this question for me is very much like, well, I know you're kind of doing this fun thing for now, but if you get married, you're going to actually get serious.
We'll get polyam-married.
Have you been thinking that the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can we have a bigger laugh?
It's not funny.
Oh, come on.
I think Alicia's very generous as well with her laughter. She's always, like, encouraging, and she, like, that was – the two of us are just, like, radio silent.
I am such a nerd for puns. They might honestly, it might even be like a kink.
Yeah,
talk honey to
love
me.
To see it. Love to see it. Yeah, I mean,
I'll send you an email. Oh my God.
Fantastic.
Like, your erotic literature is just a list of polyamory puns. Polyamory.
That was mine too, actually. Rob and I have never been monogamous together. And right. we got married after we were together for 2 years, and we had never been monogamous. And everyone was like, well, why are you even getting married?
Right.
I'm like, well, because so I have health care. If something happens to one of us, because we own homes together, like there's all of these logistical and legal reasons that it makes sense to have this legally binding contract for our lives, not because we're now choosing to commit our souls to each other until one of us dies and gets a trophy at the end. Like that's not why.
When do people get trophies at the end? And plus, you're dead.
Like, that's exciting.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Is that's why, a tombstone. Why it's such an accomplishment. Yes, a tombstone. The trophy.
A shared tombstone.
We made it.
If you're single, you get your own one.
We made it till death did us part.
Yeah.
And now we're happy about it.
Yeah.
What?
I think it's so funny. And I mean, I have said to Richard when we were monogamous that I didn't quite understand why people who were in open relationships got married. Like, I understand where this question comes from because that used to be me.
Yeah.
And I did not, when I asked, when I was saying these things, I said that to Richard, I did not understand. I didn't know anything about the relationship escalator. I didn't know anything about, you know, other forms of marriages and relationships. And I had not thought hard at all about what commitment could look like. And I think, you know, people say, oh, you're going to, or if you're going to have kids, like how would that work? And I'm like,
we'd have kids.
Well, basically, like,
you explain to them how a baby is made.
this thing called
Greece, when mommy and daddy love each other.
Like, literally. And it's like, well, you know, and I mean, I've done a lot of reading on this just because we have a podcast. It's interesting. Mm. But actually, you know, there's a researcher called Dr. Elizabeth Sheff. She's quite well known. She's like a big polyamorous researcher. She has done a lot of research on kids in polyamorous families. And she says that there are no unique disadvantages, but some unique advantages.
Yes.
For kids in polyamorous families. So, I mean, not everyone's out here when they've asked this question for me to like cite literature, but if I'm in the mood, I do.
So you just love it when you can do that as well.
So I don't know. I just think it's cite literature. It's just so indicative of the culture that we live in. And I find that the questions are surrounding that just the hardest to tolerate or to even be bothered answering. I'm like,
And can I just add to that? The one thing that pisses me off is that the inequity of the questions, whether you're a man or a woman, like women get asked way worse questions than men do. I don't get asked many questions at all. They're normally like, quite easy for me to answer. Or I'm
know,
just,
right?
And I'm sorry, guys. It's just like, I don't get asked the kids questions. I mean, I have a kid already, but like still,
but
people don't always know that. And it's just like, it's just stupid. Like, how do you broach a conversation with someone who is clearly so still so reliant on those structures that your entire relationship dynamic is designed to you know,
exist,
break down, mm-hmm. or at the very least, you know, challenge. How, like, it's so it's like, not to be sort of disrespectful to people who aren't who are monogamous, basically, but more than that, you know, like, really haven't even heard of polyamory at all. It's tough. It's like having a discussion with a child about some things, you know. Yeah. And I really don't mean that in a nasty way. I'm just kind of trying to convey how difficult it can be, because you really do have to start
from square one
with no link. It's like, you know, teaching someone to be an engineer or something. You can't start using lingo from day one, can you? You have to kind of ease them into it. And if it's just a random person who you have no responsibility to in terms of having to educate them on this, it's a bit like, it's exhausting, right? It's a bit like,
do I want to put the effort into this?
Really, 100%. I go and read a book. I can recommend some books. That won't take long.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that.
Just Google. They'll Google tell you. It. It's literally. Fine.
Just Google. You're
ChatGPT
not,
you're has some Google. Great answers.
Yeah. Ask Jeeves.
I literally recently had someone who I didn't really know.
You're still laughing at
Jeeves. Yeah. I just let that moment.
Bing. Bing.
Hey.
I'm laughing too much. I recently had someone that I didn't really know very well ask me. It kind of came up about that we were non-monogamous, or something about the podcast came up, and I said, "Oh yes, no, we're non-monogamous." And they said to me, "What's that?" And I said, "We're not monogamous." Like, I didn't know how else, like, because it's pretty self-explanatory, like, in the term, what that means. If I had said, like, "Oh, my nesting mate, Rich and I," like, okay, I can understand someone going, "Oh, what does that term mean?"
My prompt question.
But non-monogamous, like, what is that? I didn't have any more words. I was like, we're not monogamous.
Someone asked me that yesterday. Same exact thing. Like, what is that? And I was like, well, it's all the things that aren't monogamy.
Yes.
The thing is, it's funny because you can say, so you know what monogamy is, right? And they'll be like, yeah. I'm like,
not
so
that.
It's not that. The opposite of that.
And they're like,
yeah.
Mind's blown. What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%. And then this person followed up with me of, okay, so you still consider yourself a couple, but you can see other people. And I just said, yes. And that was it. I was like, I knew what you just said about, like, not having the energy. And I was just like, yes.
That is a yes or no question.
Okay. Not, all right. Are we done? Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye. Like, it was
if someone
very strange.
Nice to meet you. Yeah. I gotta go return some cassette tapes.
Literally. It was strange interaction. Right. although I must say, we've only been open for a short while, but you've been open for 10 years. So to be hit with that after 10 years, I can imagine would have been quite a experience.
Okay. Fascinating. And we're in the Pacific Northwest. Like, this is a very liberal area and a very open area with, like, a huge polyamorous community. And, like, and I'm still like, huh?
Yeah. So weird.
Google. And where are you from?
You know? Is that an accent? I
yeah. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Okay. So I have to ask you guys this one question that I hold aside for supporters of the show at patreon.com/notmonogamous. It's Woo! Our just the tip question. What is each of your favorite or best sex tips?
You
You guys are amazing. I love this so much.
I've had this so much fun. Honestly, I could talk to you all day.
Yeah. And how does it feel when you don't have to do the editing?
This feels great. I'm a little behind on our editing at the moment. So, yeah, it's like, oh, I can't have to edit this. And neither does Alicia, actually.
Danny's going to edit it.
So,
I do have to record an intro. And make sure he has that as well. I usually drop the ball on that and he'll start editing and be like, hey, Alicia, I need an intro for this episode. And I'm like, oh, crap. Okay. Let me go do that.
Nice.
Who is it that edits? Like, what's the name?
Danny. Danny, the producer, my partner.
Danny, the producer.
He was thank on episode you. 50. Well,
saying thank you to Danny. Sorry. All right. Jeez. Special appreciation for the editor, Danny. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
We love you.
He loves that.
Leave that in.
he'll hear this and go, do I leave this in?
And he will.
Danny, leave it in. Danny,
if you don't leave it in, I will look for you.
He totally will. He often is like, so I left in this thing because I thought it was cute. Okay, thanks.
Danny's
so cute.
Danny.
Yeah, he's like, I love your little banter in the beginning when you're talking about like hitting record on Zoom. So I just leave that in because I think it's cute. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like it too, though, to be honest. As a listener, I like that.
I love it. I love it.
Sets the tone.
I love the Always Sunny guys. They walk into, they're being recorded as they walk into the studio. And like, they haven't even, like, the recording begins. I think they have it like set to just start recording automatically at a certain time. So they come in and like that. Charlie's playing piano and then like they're joshing each other for being late. And it's just, I love that. Like, that is, I love that characterful.
I think it sets the tone really nicely. Yeah. Well done, Danny.
And it ends the tone.
Really nicely. Okay. Where can people hear your podcast?
Anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, we are on social media. You can find us at podcast_Polly. That's not true.
We're on Instagram. It is. What is it?
Just Google the Polly podcast.
At Polly. Oh my God. How bad is this? We are at Polly _ podcast
on Instagram and Twitter.
And if you just Google or search.
Oh, you're still on Twitter.
We are still on Twitter.
Yeah,
I don't know how much longer that's going to last, to be honest with you, but we'll see. Yeah. But yes, you just Google the Polly podcast. We come up. We've got a website, the-polly-podcast.captivate.fm. And yeah, get in touch with us.
Yeah.
podcastthepolly@gmail.com.
Right, just for everyone. So we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon. Google Podcasts.
Just where are you getting
the podcast places? You know, wherever you listen to your podcast, we're on the things.
It's like, where else would they get them? It's like, there's actually shitloads of places to get podcasts. Player.fm. That's a good one. They're pretty good. We've got offline play.
I have to tell you, I love your guys's like graphics and your cover. And
thank you.
I love them so much. Your guys' pictures are amazing and you're so fun and playful and I adore it.
Thank you so much. Well, Rich is our creative photographer person, so that's all him. He does a good job.
So good.
Photography services, then get
I should just fly to the UK and get pictures taken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
Obviously. That'll be fun.
And then
we'd
just
enjoy that.
Make a holiday of it. We'll show you around London.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I'd love that.
Okay, that was Rich and Siobhan from the Polly Podcast, and they're just the tip. If you didn't hear it, that's because you're not a supporter yet on Patreon. Become one of our lovers or friends with benefits, and you'll also get to hear the just the tip sex tip from our guests on the show. Go to patreon.com/notmonogamous to join. Bye. Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me personally and would help us keep this little podcast going if you would subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with your friends. For more personalized support with your own relationships, we can work together on a one-to-one basis. Just visit my website at aliciapayne.com and schedule a free call to chat about life, the universe, and your relationships. Bye.